Began a series of teachings a few weeks ago on the five judgments in the New Testament. And today we come to the fourth of the five judgments. And it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And we'll read those verses and then we will search the scriptures and see what we can learn about this particular judgment. There's a paragraph marking at the 31st verse. The Lord's been teaching his disciples a number of things, and he comes to a new paragraph in the 31st verse, and he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now, this paragraph marking will go on and end the chapter, the 25th chapter. This particular chapter is connected to the 24th chapter. Matthew 24 and 25 is commonly taught as the Olivet Discourse. It's one of four discourses that the Lord taught in the four Gospels. There are four discourses. A discourse is a large teaching it's all together. He groups a number of ideas together into one theme, and he gives four discourses in his ministry. Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 13, the Mystery Parables Discourse. Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, and of course the Upper Room Discourse, John 13 through 17, which we've been studying in Sunday school. Now this particular discourse is given by him to answer some questions. Turn back to Matthew 24, verse 3. Jesus had just been in the temple. The Pharisees were arguing with him, as always, and Jesus kind of told them off and gave him some truth. Nevertheless, he told him the truth. And as he left the temple, he went up and climbed upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, just outside of the temple, a little bit to the east, where he could look down upon the temple where he had just been. He's sitting upon the Mount of Olives. And his disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now in this discourse, beginning on the fourth verse on, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to explain to them when the end of the world will come, and when his second coming will happen, and what the signs will be that will let us know when this is all going to happen. God's good, and he gives us signs. Okay, Walt Disney's kind of good. He gives us signs to let us know we're getting close to Disney World. Well, God gives us signs to let us know when it's getting close to the second coming. And in these two chapters, he's going to handle this. Now, you got to remember some of the background. We're in Matthew's Gospel. Three of the discourses are in Matthew's Gospel, because Matthew's Gospel was written specifically to the Jew. It's the first Gospel in your New Testament. After the 39 books of the Old Testament, which prophesied about the coming of the king, the theme being the Old Testament, there is a king, and the king will be coming. The theme of Matthew's Gospel is the king is here. The king has come. The kingdom of heaven is going to arrive. All through it, the key words in Matthew's Gospel, kingdom, 50 times. The kingdom of heaven, 30 times. The word fulfilled, as the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled, 12 times. And of course, 12 is God's number of government. God's going to bring his government right here on earth. The purpose is to show that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah and the King of the Jews. Chapter 1, we see the genealogy and the birth of the King. Chapter 2, we see the adoration of the young King as the wise men come from the East. Chapter 3, we see the messenger and the herald of the King as John the Baptist comes and says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Chapter 4, we see the King going out, taking on the devil and getting spiritual victory over his adversary, showing that he's right to be the King as he spoils the strong man in his house. Chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he gives the mandates and the laws of the kingdom he'll set up. Chapters 8 through 10, he shows the power of the king as he goes about healing people and performing miracles and showing that he is the king of the Jews. Chapter 11, 12, and 13, though, what happens? They reject the king. There's rebellion against the king. And the people don't want the king that God sent. Just like they didn't want the king in the Old Testament when they turned to Samuel and they said, give us a king like the other nations. And God says, they have not rejected thee, Samuel. They've rejected me. And they rejected God as a spirit in the Old Testament, and now they're rejecting God in the flesh in the New Testament. And so we're seeing all this happening, and because of this, Jesus warns them, if you reject the kingdom, then your house will be left unto you desolate. And I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and judgment is coming. And so in the 24th and 25th chapter, he explains that God is going to send the king back in a future time to bring judgment. And the 24th and 25th chapter are about this. Now, you got to remember, God was dealing with Israel. When Israel rejected God, God set them aside for 2,000 years and worked at a time when he was building the church. Let me just show you a couple things what God's plans were. Go to Deuteronomy 28. I want to get to lay some framework before I teach this so you're not confused. Because most of Christianity is confused because most Christian teachers spiritualize everything and never give you doctrine. And I want to rightly divide the word of truth and show you some doctrine from the Bible today. Deuteronomy chapter 28. What was God's plan? Was to set up a kingdom of heaven on earth where the Jewish people would be his nation. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, Moses speaking to the people, if thou, you people, shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, you, the nation Israel, on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee. God's plan was to, from all the nations on the earth, to take one nation where his son would be born out of, his son would rule and reign in righteousness, and that nation would be the head of all nations. What would they do? Well, they would teach all the other nations about the true God. They would be priests unto the other nations. And they would teach them, because all the other nations were living in idolatry. They're a bunch of heathen, right? Just like America. You go to a mall, you see people pierced all over the place like heathens with tattoos. That's how they live in jungles. That's what heathen do. They bow down to totem poles. These people bow down to movie theaters and radios, and they bow down to all kinds of crazy things. They're heathen. They worship idolatry. And God's plan was to teach these heathen the truth about the true God. And he was going to do it through the nation Israel. Verse 13, same chapter. And the Lord shall make thee, the nation of Israel, the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only. Thou shalt not be beneath. In other words, the head does the thinking. And the head nation Israel was going to think for these people and show them what the true God was, so people would stop fooling around with idolatry and false gods and New Ageism and all the other things they fool around with, the cults and the isms that are out there. A lot of false religions out there, aren't there, folks? Yeah. On every corner. All kinds of false religions. There's only one God of the Bible. There's only one truth. There's the truth, the faith, and the God of the Bible. And so God wanted to do this with the nation Israel. Now, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven on earth was what God had given them in the Old Testament and what Jesus preached when he came. So much so that turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. God had a plan. So often people don't like God's plan. God's got a plan for you. You may not like his plan. If you give him some time and you learn about it, I bet you will like his plan. But usually most people follow their own plan or the devil's plan. They end up in a mess. Remember, sin cannot win. Sin cannot win. And faith cannot fail. You go to the Lord and you'll do just fine. Acts, book of Acts. Jesus has now been buried. He's been resurrected. He's now been teaching for 40 days. Verse 1. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, the Jewish people, Jesus has been resurrected, and they're thinking, okay, now you're going to set up the kingdom. Now's the time to set up the kingdom. This is what their thought is. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You're going to make us the head and not the tail? This is the time, right? I mean, now you've been resurrected. This is it, right? Lord, we're going to do it right now. Let's get on with it. Well, not exactly. What's going to happen is there's going to be a shift from the gospel of the kingdom to another gospel, the gospel of grace. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. They're all gathered together in Jerusalem. They're coming together to consider the matter of the gospel. And Peter's there, and James is there, and Paul is there, and all the believers are there, and the apostles are there. And verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. So the gospel is no longer the gospel of the kingdom. But now we're going to the gospel of grace. Now, as we studied in our first three judgments, today we're at the fourth judgment. I've got to lay the framework, the groundwork for you. As we studied at the first three studies, at Calvary's cross is where grace begins. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The first judgment we saw is right here. It's the judgment of sin at Calvary. You come in the condition, your condition is a sinner. You come to Calvary and you get justification. The second judgment we studied, number two, is a present tense judgment where you come as a son, no longer as a sinner. If you've come here, now you come as a son. And it's in the present tense, and what you do is you judge yourself through the scriptures. If we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. And then through this judgment, a daily judgment of Bible reading and prayer individually, I can't do it for you, you must do it for yourself. I can't judge others, only you can judge yourself through the scriptures. Then the second judgment is a judgment as a son, and this is an ongoing one through this period of about 2,000 years. And then we saw the third judgment takes place up in the air, not as a sinner, not as a son, but as a servant at the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment there, justification, sanctification now has been done. Now glorification is what you get. And you're glorified in your glorified body, and you're up there. Now that's the third judgment. This is the church age. This is the gospel of grace. This is the age of grace, is all in here. The kingdom stopped, was put on the side track. And now, when this occurs, we're going to get back to the kingdom age. And the gospel of the kingdom will begin again. And now we're going to restore things to Israel. Matthew 24 and 25. These two chapters, doctrinally, are Jewish. Most teachers stumble over this chapter, these two chapters, Acts chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 6, get a lot of problems. But you got to understand your doctrine. Now after 2,000 plus years, when the rapture takes place, and we go up to the judgment seat here, and this is the rapture, now we come back into the kingdom age. Now you're looking at Matthew 24 and 25. Now you're looking at the rapture is Revelation 4:1. Up in heaven, you see Revelation, the rest of chapters 4 and 5. And now you get back down to planet Earth, and you see Revelation chapters 6 through 18. And now begins a 7-year period. Here's what he says. Let's go on. But verse 11. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We're not saved by waiting for a kingdom. We're saved by coming to Calvary's cross as a sinner and asking for him to be our Savior. That's how we're saved, through that gospel, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence. And they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. This is amazing. God's now working with Gentiles instead of Jews. That's the age we're in, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, After that they held their peace, James answered and said, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, here we go, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take a people for his name. That's what's happening in here in the age of grace. God is visiting Gentiles. Anyone in here a Gentile? Hands? Hands looks at the whole room. No Jews. That doesn't mean God won't save a Jew. He will. But predominantly in the age of grace, Gentiles are getting saved because we outnumber the Jews about 99 to 1 on this planet. And God is visiting the Gentiles and saving them. Verse 14. God is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. To this degree, the words of the prophet, as it is written, 16. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. After this, I will return. So God's taking the Gentiles through grace, plus Jews that get on board, if any Jew will take Jesus as Savior through grace, through this time period of 2,000 years, and then the rapture will occur, and he says, after this, I, God, will return and set up the tabernacle personally. God's going to build his tabernacle, not people. It's going to be the work of God's hands. After this, but let me show you, before he returns, he takes us up in the rapture. He does not come down immediately. Before he returns, when will be the sign of thy coming? When are you going to come back, Lord? Before I return, there's going to be a seven-year period. A seven-year period. Turn to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, kingdom of heaven, Jews, Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. They shall possess it. God's been doing this. He's been gathering together from all over the world since 1948. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling and of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? For alas, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble right there. Ezekiel chapter 20 says that they'll pass under the rod. Ezekiel 22 says they'll be refined in the melting pot in the fire. Daniel chapter 12 calls it the time of trouble for his people. Before he comes back will be a seven-year period of tribulation called the time of Jacob's trouble. He will not come back right away. The Gentiles will go out. He's going to come back to set up the tabernacle, but first there must be a seven-year tribulation period. That's why he says in verse 5, We have heard a voice of trembling and of fear, not of peace. We thought you could come back, set up the tabernacle, everything's going to be peaceful. Why is there fear and trembling here? Because there's a seven-year period where God must judge the nation Israel for their unbelief, and judge the Gentile nations for how they treat the nation Israel. Not the saved Gentiles that went up in the rapture, the ones left behind that are going to treat his people poorly. That's what this period is all about. Turn to back to where we were in Matthew 24. So you can understand what this judgment of nations is about. Matthew 24. What are the signs of thy coming? Here's what he says, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see, you see signs. Signs are for visible seeing. faith cometh by hearing, but signs are for seeing. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when you see that thing stand in the holy place, by the way, whoso readeth, let him understand. When you see that, then, man, flee to the mountains. Get out of town when you see the abomination of desolation. What's the abomination of desolation? Verse 21. When that happens, there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. That's the great tribulation going on here, when the abomination of desolation comes. What is that abomination? Daniel speaks of it in his book, Daniel 11. He told you it'd be a time of great trouble. Daniel speaks of it. Daniel 11. What is this judgment of nations? Daniel 11, pick it up in verse 31. And arms shall stand on his part. He'll have armies standing on his part. This is the Antichrist. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. They'll move his army in and they'll pollute the sanctuary. And shall take away the daily sacrifice. The Jews will be in Jerusalem doing their sacrifices. And this guy's going to come in and they'll make the abomination that maketh desolate. They'll place the abomination. They're going to put an idol in the temple. Skip down to verse 36. And the king, that's the Antichrist, shall do according to his will and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And what's going to happen, Jesus is saying, in this particular time, one of the signs you know it's come is when somebody takes an army and goes to the temple in Jerusalem and puts an idol in there and stands that thing up and says, worship that idol. That's the abomination that maketh desolate. That's going to happen during the tribulation period. So Jesus is letting us know. Now, I wanted to show you that. Go back to Matthew 24. During this period, here's what's going to be happening at the sign of his coming. Verse 15 we saw. When you see the abomination of desolation, verse 15, look at the verse before. Look at the verse before. And what will be preached? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. We've left the gospel of grace and we're moved back to the gospel of the kingdom. In this period, they're not going to be preaching the gospel of grace anymore because grace is over. They've missed it. In this period, they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom unto all nations for a witness to them. And the gospel of the kingdom would be God's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem and in Israel. Keep your hands off my people. Don't touch the apple of mine eye. Try preaching that today. See how it will go. Either gospel gets rejected today. But go to Jerusalem and tell the Palestinians to get out of town and leave the temple alone. Tell Hamas to get lost. Tell those terrorist organizations and Yasser Arafat. Who wouldn't receive it today, they're not going to receive it then. Ah, the judgment of nations is coming. Then there's going to be a judgment for the nations. That's what we're talking about here. So what's going to happen is this seven-year period is going to go on. They're going to set up this idol in the holy place, and God is going to have the gospel of the kingdom preached to all the nations for a witness. And then Revelation 19. Revelation 4:1, we go up. 7 years happen. Revelation 19:11. The second time, book of Revelation, you see heaven open. You see it open once to receive us. You see heaven open a second time. You got that, Joe? Second time heaven's open, Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge, judgment of nations, and make war. Revelation 19:11. When will you come back, Lord? What's the sign of your coming? After this 7-year tribulation period, I'll be coming back, and then I'll set up the kingdom after 7 years. And so now we see him coming back. This is at the end of the seven-year period. Now let's read the judgment of nations in Matthew 25, now that we understand what's going on and when the time frame is. It's yet to occur in the future, and now we'll see what's going to happen at that judgment. It doesn't deal with Christians. The judgment of nations does not deal with Christians. Our judgment was here at Calvary's cross, number one. We judge ourselves as sons, number two. Number three, he raptures us out. We go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're in heaven. Tribulation goes on. He comes back for the judgment of nations. Revelation 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The throne of his glory is the throne of David that was promised to him. That the seed of David, the covenant given to David, the sure mercies of David, and the sign of that covenant was that he would have a son that would sit upon the throne. Messiah ben David. How do they say that the Christ is the son of David? I don't know, say the Pharisees. Well, we know. Because the Lord Jesus Christ comes of the seed of David, and he'll sit on David's throne, the throne of his glory. He'll sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And they've had the gospel preached to them, the gospel of the kingdom. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The judgment of nations is going to be during this seven-year tribulation period when the Antichrist takes over. The spirit of Antichrist is to destroy the work of God. And the work of God is the Jewish people and the nation Israel. That's God's work. He delivered them in a day, Exodus chapter 12. He delivered that nation with the thought of being, of having a theocracy where there would be one nation on earth that would have God as its king, not a democracy. God is not into democracies. Demons are into democracy. Do the spelling, okay? The will of the people is not the will of God. The voice of the people is not the voice of God. God wanted a theocracy with he is the king and the king of kings. I like it that way. Do you?
Amen.
Well, if you don't, talk to God about it. He'll help you get your heart right. You really like voting for people that are running for office? I'd rather have God in office. I like it that way. And that's what God wants to do, and he wants to set up his kingdom. And this kingdom with Jesus sitting on the throne, ruling over the nation Israel, God's promise was that they would teach the other nations. Now, the spirit of the devil is to destroy God's work. And so that's why Israel is so hated. And you even hear it today. People, why do we hate America? Some of the Palestinians and some of the Islamic fundamentalists say, why do they hate America? Because we help Israel. That's why they hate us. Because we support Israel. And the devil wants to try and stop God's work from going on. Now, during the time when the devil and his man, the Antichrist, are ruling, they're going to be persecuting the Jewish people. It's sort of like you got a little picture of it in Germany when Hitler was ruling in Germany. And they burned Jews. And they would, like cattle, put them in cattle cars and take them off to concentration camps. And they would put marks on them and stamp them. And these are all the kind of things that are pictures of what the Antichrist will be doing. And only a few people in Germany had the love of the Lord to take care of those Jewish people. During this period, it'll be far worse than what Hitler did, and it will be worldwide, and the Antichrist will rule the world. The whole world will wonder after the beast, and he'll have control over all the nations. People look at me like a tree full of owls. That's what this country wants. Do you not see that? I mean, they run after false leaders all the time. They want so-called peace and safety. If anybody could promise to them, no more can your children be taken from you. No more will airplanes be blown up in the sky. Now you can fly safely. Now you can drive your car. And if anybody offered them peace and safety, in a second they'll vote for them. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to vote the Antichrist into office. The world is democratically going to vote the Antichrist into office when he makes his promises of peace and safety. And then he's going to say, but we've got one problem down here. It's the Jews. And we've got to eliminate those Jews. And he's going to do the same thing Hitler did. And it's only going to take someone that loves God, that didn't go up in the rapture, someone from this period, maybe was 15, 16 years old, and now learning the truth about God. It's going to be people like that, or people that have heard the gospel for the first time, the gospel of the kingdom, and listen to the gospel of the kingdom and recognize our job is to take care of the Jewish people and to take them in our basements and to protect them and to keep them. And when they're hungry, to feed them. And when they're thirsty, to give them drink. And when they're strangers, to take them in. And when they're naked, to clothe them. No matter what the Antichrist says, no matter what he says he's going to do to us, those are the ones that will be able to inherit the kingdom, because he says in verse 40, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. My brethren. Now, what's he mean when he's talking about my brethren? Well, he's not talking about Christians, because Christians have gone up in the rapture. He's talking about flesh and blood brethren. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. There was a kind of an argument occurring amongst the 12 disciples, and 10 were mad at 2, and verse 24, Matthew 20:24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Now, what was happening in the room? Well, we had Peter, and you had James, and you had John, and you had James the Less, and you had Thaddeus Labius, and you had Thomas of Didymus, and you had Simon the Canaanite, and you had all these men in here. And Simon was from the land of Canaan, but he was a Jew. And they were all Jewish men. And they weren't brethren like had the same mommy and daddy, but they were brethren because they were all of the seed of Abraham. They were Jewish brethren. And so Jesus, these were his brethren, the Jewish people. That's what he means. Let me give you another example of this. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Let's see how the word is used. Verse 8, talking to the Jewish people in the synagogue, and he's saying to them, verse 8, be ye not called rabbi. They like to call some of the Jewish teachers rabbi. He says, be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And ye, all you Jewish people here in the synagogue, ye are all brethren of the seed of Abraham. That's what he's talking about. Let's see another example, one more example. Turn to Matthew 28. After his resurrection, verse 10. Mary Magdalene is there, and some of the ladies are there. And Jesus saith unto them, Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And so, in Matthew 25, we're not talking about Christians, and we're not talking about just anybody on planet Earth. We're talking about Jews of the seed of Abraham. Those are the brethren. And the judgment of nations, the Lord is going to judge based on how the nations treated, or how anyone in the nations treated his brethren, Jews of the seed of Abraham, during the 7-year tribulation. That's what Matthew 25 is about. It is so, is it misinterpreted? Have you noticed that, brother? I mean, so many people misinterpret that. I've had people misinterpret me here, so. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church from 1994 edition. This is the letter from John Paul, the Pope, with his signature right there, Johannes Paulus II, given in, this was printed in 94, but this was given in October 11th, 1992, on the 30th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council in the 14th year of my pontificate, Johannes Paulus II. So everything in here is official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus makes these words of the poor. He invites us to recognize his own presence in the poor who are his brethren. This is statement number 2449 with a reference to Matthew 25:40. So they're quoting this verse and saying that poor people are his brethren. It's not what's being said in the Bible. We just showed you three verses. It has to do with Jewish people. A lot of religious people think if you go around and you're nice to people in prison and you're nice to poor people, you're being nice to the Lord. That's not what he said at all. Nobody in this age right here is of the Lord unless they are what? Born again. Unless they have received the Spirit of Christ by faith in Christ Jesus as their Savior, they are not part of his body and they are not his brethren. His brethren down here in the age of grace were not going through the tribulation. The judgment of nations is for people and nations that have gone through the tribulation and how they treated the Jewish people at that particular time. Funny thing, because I had a Christian that I knew that I took care of, and he was a born-again Christian, and he did something he ought not to have done, and that can happen. Any one of us can do things we ought not to do, and we ought to pray about it when we do it. But sometimes when we do things we ought not to do legally, we get caught by the police, and he did something he ought not to have done, and he got caught. And then he ended up in jail. And then he would call me on the phone, and he would give me all these kinds of things, how I'm supposed to come visit him as his brother and try and pull Matthew 25 on me. And I said, "Brother, let me ask you one thing. Are you in jail for preaching the gospel?" "No." "You're in jail for doing something you ought not to have done?" "Well, then the Lord Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount that when the judge takes you, you're supposed to go into prison and pay the uttermost farthing. You're supposed to pay your penalty to society. God doesn't expect a different standard to his people. You're to be subject to authority and do that. And I'm not going to bail you out and do all those kinds of things. Because right now you did something you ought not to have done. You got caught. You got to pay the price. And when it's all done and you get out, you know, and you built up your relationship with the Lord and you prayed, you come call me. And we'll get together. We'll do some Bible study." That's the way it goes, folks. But it had nothing to do with Matthew 25:40. He's trying to pull those verses out. Misapplying it. The application is the judgment of nations. Right here. That's the whole entire Olivet sermon. And the discourse is about the judgment of nations. And it's going to be how you treated the Jews. Now, I don't know if there's any unsaved people here. There may be. And if you are unsaved, you have a chance of getting to enter into the tribulation. And because when we get raptured up, you're going to get left behind. It's just that simple. I don't know when the rapture will be. Could be tonight, could be next week, could be in a couple of years from now. But if you're still alive and you haven't taken Christ as your Savior and you miss the age of grace, boom, I'm warning you ahead of time. Be nice to the Jews. Okay? Pay attention to the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? You better do that. Because let's see what happens now when he gives his judgment at the judgment of nations. This is all misinterpreted. This is another printing I have, the Council of Trent. "To those who work well to the end and trust in God, eternal life is offered, as God mercifully promises, as a reward to be given faithfully to those who have good works and merits." And again, they're quoting Revelation or Matthew 25:40. Nothing about good works and merits, okay, for salvation. They got the wrong dispensation. They're out of their dispensation. By the way, let me just tell you something. All cults and isms, they're out of their dispensation. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses are in the Old Testament. Catholics are part in the Old Testament, and they're part in the tribulation. They don't even realize it. The cults and isms are out of their dispensation. The age of grace right here says, "To him that worketh not, but him that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Okay? His faith is counted for righteousness. In the age of grace, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this age, you can do your good works and take care of the Jews. That's what you'll need to do. And what will happen is if you do that, then he will say, come, like he said in verse 34, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. The kingdom which was prepared for you. The kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. But what if they don't do those things and they don't take care of the Jewish people? Verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? And then he shall answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now this judgment here was also prophesied in the book of Joel and in the book of Isaiah. You want to turn back to Joel chapter 3? See, then the Jewish people, the disciples asked him, when are you going to set this thing up? When are you going to set the kingdom up? He said, well, first I'm going to call the people out of the Gentiles under my name, and then I'll come back and set up the temple. But first I'm working a work that will make your ears tingle. As I go to the Gentiles for 2,000 years in the age of grace and save them without any works, simply based on faith. You know, why would somebody turn away God's grace? I don't understand that. Do you really want to go through the tribulation and try and take on the Antichrist? Because you're going to have to love your life unto death. I mean, you're just going to have to not love your life unto death, because what's going to happen is when the Antichrist finds out you're taking care of Jewish people, he can do the same thing to you that he's going to do to the Jews. He's going to cast you in an oven too. Take it now while it's a free gift. Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there. Shaphat is judgment, and Jeho is Jehovah's judgment. Jehoshaphat, and plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. They went and divided the land. We'll give this to the Palestinians. We'll give this to Jordan. We'll give this to Syria. God's going to judge them for all that work. Skip down to verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Skip down to verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There's going to be, during the tribulation, billions of people are going to be killed. Read Revelation 6 through 18. Of the 6 billion people on the planet, probably 4 to 5 billion will be killed during the period of the tribulation. But when that period comes to an end, except the days be shortened, should no flesh be saved, about a couple hundred million people are going to be left alive in bodies. And those people are going to come into the valley of decision, where the judge, the king, will sit on the throne of his glory. And he'll get the Jewish people and he'll put them on his right hand. And then he'll start determining one by one which ones get to go to the right and which ones go to the left. And he promised it right here in Joel. He also promises it again in the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60. This is the fourth judgment of the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. As the lightning cometh from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the light will come down out of heaven. Vroom. I mean, the whole earth is going to be plunged into darkness. There's going to be no electricity. We've done the studies in Revelation. There's going to be no electricity. The sun's going to be dark. The moon's going to be dark. The world's going to be plunged into darkness, just like it was during the Egyptian plagues, and all of a sudden the light's going to come out of the east. People are going to see it from planet Earth. Something up in the heavens. Look, look, it's coming. And it's the light of Jesus Christ coming down out of heaven on his white horse as he comes back to make his judgment. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord's risen upon thee. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth just before his coming, and groweth darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee, this is the nation Israel, will perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. That's the judgment of nations that's going to occur in Matthew chapter 25. That's the fourth judgment that will take place back here on planet Earth in the New Testament, is the judgment of nations. What'll happen is this. After that 7-year period is over and the judgment occurs, then begins, go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We saw the Lord coming back in Revelation 19. We saw heaven opened and a white horse coming down. And then in the next chapter, verse 20, in the next chapter, we're going to see what happens. Verse 4, and I saw thrones. So he comes on his throne, his glory, and then John gets to see there are other thrones. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received a mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So people that were killed by the Antichrist during this period, Jesus is going to raise them up back to life in a resurrection body. And what's going to happen with them, they're going to be resurrected, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Verse 5, this is the first resurrection. These are the Jews that were martyred during this time will be raised up to enter in the millennial kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they'll be raised. Jews that were killed will be raised up. Jews that survived somehow will also enter into the kingdom. So you'll have an entrance into God's kingdom for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. They're going to live and reign. Under that verse, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. That's what he wanted of his kingdom. He wanted the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of heaven, to be a nation of priests. They shall be priests of God and of his Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so what will happen is after this judgment, what the Lord Jesus Christ will do at the judgment right here is he will take the people on the left hand and he will send them down into a lake of fire, depart, and they'll be killed. He will raise up the Jews and the other ones that were alive, and those people will get to enter, well, I don't know how many it will be, I have no idea, into a 1,000-year millennial kingdom, where the kingdom of heaven will be on earth with Jesus Christ ruling from Jerusalem, and these people that were Jews that were beheaded, they'll be raised and go. The Jews that survived, they will go. And the Gentiles that took care of the Jews in a kind manner, according to Jesus' judgment, will also enter into the millennial kingdom for 1,000-year reign. They will be given, he said, thrones, verse 4. This is probably more exactly explained in Luke 19, and you might want to read it on your own tonight because it's a parallel passage on how he gives authority over cities. Again, Luke 19 has to do with the tribulation period and the authority that they're going to get. So that's the judgment of nations. It does not involve Christians. Now, the nice thing is, when the Lord Jesus Christ does come back, if you read Revelation 19 on your own, you will find we follow with him. And when he comes to rule, we are his bride, and we will be there with him in Jerusalem in our glorified bodies. But the judgment of the nation has to do for the people that came through this seven-year period, and whether or not they treated the Jews as they were supposed to be treated. That's the fourth judgment in the New Testament, the judgment of nations. Next week we'll look at the fifth judgment of the New Testament. Any questions on what we looked at? There was a lot. There's got to be a question somewhere. Come on, throw one out. Yes?
I don't understand, I guess, verse 46 of Matthew 25. And he shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Yes.
Okay, it sort of sounds like these people that were doing good works, good to the Jews, inherit eternal life.
Yes.
I mean, isn't eternal life must be and always has to be inherited through like a cross and through the blood?
Yes. Well, they're going to do, you're correct, brother. The reason they're going to be doing what they do to the Jews, it's going to be an outward sign of having received the preaching of the Word of God that was given to them. Remember, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is going to go out. And in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom explains the nation Israel is God's nation.
Okay.
And the nation Israel has a Messiah, king. And in that preaching, it will tell about that Messiah. Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions, that the chastisement of our peace is upon him. All that will be included. So the people that treat the Jews well won't be doing it out of their own spirit and out of their own work. They will be the people that have received the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching. Yes, that's what's going to happen there. It's an outward manifestation of an inner change.
Okay, so the gospel of the kingdom contains the understanding and the
of grace.
Of the gospel of grace.
Yes. It contains an understanding of grace. All through the Bible, all the way back from when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it's always been a work of grace on God's part. But the gospel of the kingdom is specifically what he's going to have preached at that time. Okay. But contained within it is a nugget of grace. Now for us, what he did is he just pulled the nugget out and he's showing it to us. We live in a great and marvelous and a wonderful time, a dispensation of God. You ought to be rejoicing and jumping up and down.
Will
I don't know why.
The Holy Spirit be present at that time?
The Holy Spirit will always attend. The Holy Spirit will always attend the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will attend the Word of God. His ministry is not done. That's a study that a lot of people confuse that one passage in Thessalonians about he now letteth and until he be taken out of the way. And people think the he being taken out of the way is the Holy Spirit. But the he is the body of Christ that's being taken out of the way. It's Christ's body, he. Men, physical, I mean, we're taken out. And then when the body of Christ is taken out of the way, then there's nothing restraining anymore the people of the earth from having the drunken, sexual, maniacal, murderous orgy that they want to have. And that's basically what's in the heart of people. They're wicked killers. The only reason they don't kill is because there's a government. You let them kill, you just give them no government, they'll all run around and kill each other. Beelzebub. And Lord of the Flies.
One time that there was going to be, more people dying that were in the Old Testament. There were more people dying in Noah's. Was it Noah's time?
In Noah's time of murder. Yes.
Of murder. Is that going to be
similar? That will be the same way. It'll be in the days of Noah. This, if you read Matthew 24 and 25, he says the coming of the Son of Man will be as the days of Noah. Okay. And at that time, murder was the number one cause of death, more than heart disease and cancer. Yeah, it'll be the same thing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for unraveling for us these judgments. Thank you for letting us know you're a God of judgment and showing us the judgments ahead of time and then making a way for us to avert judgment, sure judgment, by coming to the cross of Calvary where sin was judged, where the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. Help us to receive him as Savior, get in on the first three judgments, and just watch the fourth one from afar. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.